noticed that some of us have been a tad bit quiet, but just to make sure that you are not, can I just want to make sure you all are still BCC. Are you with me? So, let's on the count of three give the Lord just a big praise offering unto God. One, two, three. Come on! Glory to God. He is. You know, one of the things I began to think about is because we are, you know, really sincerely in a quality way, preparing successfully these two services, and many of us, or at least a few of us, get to be a part of two worship services and, you know, the music set and stuff like that. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now, I will not get bored of praising God. Are you with me? And the reason I can say that, I know you too. How many know you get your favorite song and you put it on repeat anyway? So I don't know why we sit up here acting like, you know, I can't get it on. You know what? You play that song over and over. Some of us 15 times playing the same song. We can worship God and give him all praises because it's not about the song. It's about the Savior. Come on. Glory to God. Well, if you all haven't been warned, I am very much so not only excited, but have you ever been so not like bottled up, but God is overwhelming you so much where you just want to explode. Are you with me? I'm wanting to explode, and I pray that you would have even your own temper rise up. So we've already thanked God for this incredible and beautiful artwork, but let's go ahead, and I've got specifics that I want to walk through. As I get this, would you go to that next screen for me as I get the clicker? Everybody say, save the world. Say it one more time. Say, save the world. Very good. Very good. We will not go over these scriptures, but for those of you that may be tuning in or you may be visiting for the very first time, or for those of you that need to see it and hear it in a different way, these are what we call our mission manuscripts. There's two passages of scripture, both from the book of John, that are our mission manuscripts. In other words, for this mission we're talking about in saving the world, that's got to be laced, it's got to be birthed from the Word of God. That's a good place to say amen. The first place is in John chapter 12, verses 46 to 47. And then the second mission manuscript is in John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. And I like to make sure you understand that the Apostle John, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Apostle John, when he wrote his gospel, as well as his epistles, the three epistles in the back, the three letters in the back, and as well been recorded, he wrote the book of Revelation. We understand that he uses the word world 102 times. That more than doubles the next writer, or the one that contributed the most, which would be the Apostle Paul, and he only uses it about 47 times. And I like to say it this way, if the Apostle from the Holy Spirit writes about world that many times, then he's trying to create us to have a worldview. I'm going to say that again. We ought not be going to modern philosophy or anybody in any kind of education. I don't care how many degrees you have. We ought to go back to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit for understanding what should be our worldview. Amen. Glory to God. So we understand that we are here about save the world, number five. Save the world, number five. I want everybody to see this so you can understand that this is intentionally not a series, but much rather, these are messages mission. Our messages mission is to activate agent ambassadors. It's to activate. Say activate. It's to activate. Listen, this is not just something clever to hear and write down a couple of verses or feel really good and then go home and say, ooh, I feel good for the week. No. We are talking about activating, not just using. When we talk about activating, how many know when you get a new credit card or debit or whatever it might be, you've got to activate it to use it. These words that God is sharing with you in messages are for you to activate as agent ambassadors. So therefore, every word is for faith and fitly spoken to equip, empower, and inspire us to save the world. It is causing us to have faith. They are fitly spoken to equip, empower us, and inspire us to do what? To what? Save the world. To do what? To save the world. We will not go back over last week's messages, but I just want to create a bridge from the past 2 weeks until this new message. And that's when we dealt with now and how. Now and how. We remember that understanding that when we talk about now, that's the when. That comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 talks about it as being now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So the question is, when are we supposed to save the world?
Now.
When?
Now.
Turn to your neighbor and say,
we are
supposed to save the world
now.
Praise God. Amen. When we look at the second part of that, that's the how. And not at each service. We were only able to get so far in each service, but I want to make sure you get this very, very vital, important point because it may be applicable to you who are listening online or to you that are sitting in here with us today in attendance corporately. It starts here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. It says, therefore, matter of fact, would you read with me? Ready, set, read. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Pause right there. God has given us what kind of ministry? A ministry of what? How many understand that God has not given us a ministry of division? That's good teaching right there. God has given us a ministry of what? This has nothing to do with if you're called pastor or reverend or apostle. You have been given a ministry as being a believer and a follower of Christ to reconcile people back to God. Verse 19. Ready, said, read. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us a word of reconciliation. So what is this ministry of reconciling the world to himself? Can I show you what it says? To reconcile the world to yourself is by doing this, not imputing their trespasses to them. Do you know what that means? We are supposed to be just like Jesus is, so are we in this world. And Jesus' ministry did not count people's sin against them. I'm COVID on this side over here. Do we understand that what the ministry of reconciliation is that even though you see people in the world doing things wrong, it is not the church's responsibility to come up to them and tell them you're doing wrong. Why? Because it was never what Jesus did, so that's not what we do as the church. What do? We cause people to be forgiven. Y'all want me to spit on y'all. That's what it is. Y'all not going to listen, amen. So the issue here is we want to be the type of people that are forgiving people, not holding on to people. Do you remember this? John chapter 20. The Bible says that Jesus comes into the room and he says, peace be unto you. And then they had to recognize his holes in his hands. And then they said, oh, it's the Lord Jesus. And then he said again to them, peace be unto you. And then you've got to remember this. Then he says unto them this, just as the Father sent me, so I send you. And then he says this, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whoever sins are remitted or remain, they remain. Now, we know it's not us because we don't have that power. But you remember that it's Christ in us. He breathed unto us with the Holy Spirit. So it's God in us that forgives people. Ooh, we look. Can I share something with you? Oh, I didn't see this. Practical. There might be people that have difficulty even forgiving people. Who are we talking to in here? Who are we talking to out there? Do you know that God is desiring to forgive the people that we sometimes are holding on to? Well, they didn't. No, I'm going to make them pay. Do you understand that forgiveness is a gift, not a paycheck? Oh, I'm preaching. Forgiveness is a gift. It's a what? Not a paycheck. You can't make people earn forgiveness. That's why forgiveness is forgiving. Did you catch that? Boy, that's good preaching. Let's do the benediction. I tricked you there, didn't I? Amen. Verse 20 and 21. Ready, said, read. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And everybody said, amen. Here's the point that we've got to go really fast about in this, is that in verse number 19, it says, no longer counting people's sins against them. I want you to say that. No longer counting people's sins against them. Can you imagine what it means to save the world is if we were more about forgiving people of their sins by the Holy Spirit, that people would fall in love with the God who caused that in them? To be agents, ambassadors of Christ. To be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, is that we are ambassadors for Christ, is what I call an agent ambassador for Christ. And I really don't mind what kind of agent you are. I don't mind if you're a Secret Service agent. I don't mind if you're an FBI agent. What we've got to do is begin to represent Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for as he is, so are we in this world. And I want you to understand how valuable and important this is. I wasn't planning on saying it this way. I think sometimes we're quiet because, unlike the song, let us be more aware of your Holy Spirit, God, we are sometimes more aware of our own shortcomings. Sometimes we are holding guilt and shame on and can't quite look at the pastor and Pastor Holly, and, you know, you see him coming, you like looking like this, you know, and I mean, you see him coming down high V, you know, you're trying to catch up with you, and you be like running out the door. Are you with me? You know what? We don't have to live in guilt and shame when God wants to forgive us. Somebody say amen. Jesus paid the perfect price for our lives, and God doesn't want us walking around in sin, guilt, condemnation, and we ought to be able to go away free. That's a good place to say amen. So therefore, I want you to catch verse 20 as well. It says this, and this is the part you got to get, that God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Get this English language, plain and simple. This is what we are with Christ in us. Come back to God. I'm going to say that again. The ministry of reconciliation is to say, come back to God. What's the ministry of reconciliation? Come back to who? What that means is Jesus Christ paid and is the price for us to come back to God. Let me tell you what that means. Not just like be saved from hell or saved to go to heaven. No. Saved means you get to be restored, as Binti said, restored back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, where they lived in perfection. They had no sins against them. There was no wrong. There was nothing bad, nothing evil. In Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, they were in a perfected state. And when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, we get to be returned back to a place where we get all the benefits of salvation. We're restored with the Father. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus is moving, living, and breathing in us. We get to be just like we were before we fell. Glory to God. God is not holding stuff against you. Hallelujah. Say, save the world. Praise God. So, this next point I want you to get, and I'm going to have you say it as well. It's vitally important. It says, faith that God is for you. Faith that God is for you. Can I tell you what this means? God is before you, beside you, within you, and with you. Amen. That was good. Somebody said amen. Listen, can you read that off the screen? Ready, set, read. Faith that God is for you, before you, beside you, within you, and with you. One more time. Faith that God is for you, before you, beside you, within you, and with you. Aman and aman. Listen, the word aman comes from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. I'll just tell you what it means. It means to be established. It means to be what? It means to be established. It means it's believing faith. Believing faith. It's to be established. So when we have believing faith, it's to stand firm or to be for certain. And then it goes all, the reason I call it amen to amen is because that's in Genesis. That's in what? But from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the very last chapter in Revelation is Revelation 22, and the last verse is 21. And it says this, amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The last word in the Bible is amen. That means I'm trying to go from aman to amen. I want to be wrapped up, taped up, stapled up all in the Word of God. So when you say something that's a blessing, I'm going to say amen to amen. I want it to be established in my life. I want it to be firm in my life. I want to be able to be for certain in my life. I don't need to walk in doubt and what's happened to God. I don't know if I'm in. I don't know if he's mad at me. No, God loves me, and he loves me eternally. He's not upset with me because he's forgiven me. And if he's forgiven me, I get to run and jump up in daddy's lap because he is my father. Glory to God. Woo! My God, I hear them over the online. They are out shouting you all that's in here. My God, somebody just jumped off their bed. I'm telling you. So the issue here is, I want you to write this verse down. You don't want to forget this. Galatians chapter 4. You want this verse. Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 6. It says this: and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Think about that. And because we are his what? Children. We are his what? If you've accepted Jesus, you are his child. That means God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. To call out what? Abba, Father. You see, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ, into the hearts, and now he is for you, before you, beside you, within you, and will be with you. Why? Because we say, Amen. Let it be established. Stand firm for certain in me and us. Amen. So be it fulfilled. I want to share with you just a few moments. I want to today touch on this particular topic, and that is a prophetic church of people with purpose. A prophetic church. Say prophetic. How many understand that's not the word prophetic? Pathetic, amen? We're not talking about being a pathetic church. We're talking about being a prophetic church. What kind of church? A prophetic church of people with purpose. And I just want to say here, if you will, just like a neocon, here he is, 23 years of age, and God using him in a mighty way with purpose. He told me a story just this week, or maybe it was last week, that he was went to his friend's house down in Des Moines, stone, cohort. Like he said, like, you know, Pastor, he's kind of one of those kind of guys. And that young man accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was there weeping with the neocon, having things to be dealt with. You see, I don't care who you are, Dalton. I don't care who you are. I'm telling you, God wants to save men and women and boys and girls, because God is after family and relationships and lives and souls. I know you may be going through a hard time, but when Jesus comes in, he can turn everything around. I'm asking of you, what even if you say, well, I accepted Jesus already. There are still new levels to grow. We go from faith to faith by receiving grace from grace, to go from glory to glory, and glory never stops. Glory means splendor. I'm telling you, you might think you're at one level and I've got it all understand. I don't know. I've never had, when I say never, I mean never. I've never had a 4.0. Are you with me? I don't care. I started off with maybe a 1 point something, and I'm trying to get up to a 2 point something, and then a 3 point something. Whatever I can do, I'm trying to go from glory to glory. And that's the same thing in the realm of the spirit. Why would we just settle for C-level Christianity, when I want to be at an honors roll Christian? I want to be a dean's level, where I please the Father in everything I do. I don't want to just, you know, imagine, Brother Mason, if Jesse Owens would say, well, it never been ran that fast before, and stop. My God, we've got to break records for Christ. I've never seen that done before. Why? Because Jesus says in John 14, these things you will do greater than me, because I'm going to go to the Father. But if I go to the Father, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he will be able to cause to do more through you than what I've been able to do. I've only been doing this for 3.5 years, but you may have a lifetime since you've been born again. I don't know about you. I've seen sickness be healed. I've seen headaches go away. I've seen people get saved. I've seen people break from alcoholism. I've seen people go from even transgender to the original gender. I have seen it all by the power of a miraculous God. I don't know why we're trying to stop. My
God, I saw people be able to make a basketball team that was only 5'7". Why? It was my son. I'm telling you. Jesus. That boy is at the bubble right now and is 5'8". Dreams do come true. Somebody say glory to God. Y'all don't translate this. I don't know what y'all do in y'all Bible. I'm glad I got a good Bible. Whoa! It's a good day for this. Preach, Pastor. Jesus. My God. No way. Hey, Caleb, next week, I'm going to put a little computer here so I can see myself and then amen myself while I'm on the computer. Amen. Glory to God. Say a prophetic church. It was our desire today that we knew we couldn't necessarily explain what we call exegesis, where we pull and extract from the scriptures and explain what it means to be a prophetic church. Sometimes it warrants that we have to demonstrate it. We have to use testimonies and illustrations. So today, what we're going to do is I want to have these three ladies come up and share this particular testimony about it. Now, this is what happened already. Please come up now. So here's what's beautiful. In the earlier service, everybody say prophetic. Here's the most important thing if you can write these three things down. The first one is this. To be prophetic does not mean to be predictive. It does not mean to be predictive. To be prophetic does not mean what? You see, we think and we grew up with some kind of a religious mindset that we think to be prophetic means, well, they're going to tell me something about my future. That's not what prophetic means. The actual Greek word prophetic deals with forth and speak. It means to forth speak or to foretell. I mean, foretell, not foretell. So what I mean by that is this. Anything and everything has the ability to speak forth. Because here's the next word. The first one was pro, like forth. The next one was tell. Here's the third word. It's interpretive, not predictive. To be prophetic is interpretive of the counsels of God. In other words, it's looking at a thing, seeing a thing, having a dream, having an interpretation of it, and speaking it forth that represents what Jesus Christ wants to do. It's learning how to discern from the Holy Spirit what God is doing in the earth, where you look at a thing, you think of a thing, you see a scripture, and you apply it to a thing. It's prophetic, and what we're talking about is being a prophetic church. Twice this morning already happened. Twice already just today. And that was what? A young man, Dr. Thompson, stood up while we was in worship, came and got a microphone, and declared the word of the Lord that like hens, like the scripture says, just as, I think it was Jesus who declared it, like hens that, like Jesus says, like I've wanted to gather you like hens gather their chicks. So likewise, God was here with us, and he was gathering us in worship. That is prophetic. But it's up to you to nestle up under the wings of God when you hear a word like that. Number two, Sister Tridian, she typed it out into us, and our staff had it already this morning. And she said the one thing we should do when we come into the sanctuary today is to release freedom. Freedom from every bondage. Freedom to know God more. Freedom to love God and to be loved by God. Freedom from anything that had us bound. And that came before she ever came to church or took a shower or had a little cute outfit on. Why? Because we've got to learn how to be prophetic in every situation, especially when we're at home. I can't wait to get to church and be prophetic. I want to hear what God is saying wherever I am.
Good afternoon. So my name is Carla, for some of you who don't know, and my piece of this is small, but on Friday night, before prayer, I was very tired and wasn't sure I wanted to be here at 8 p.m., but God said go, and so I came, And then while I was here and we were in the midst of worship, I heard something or thought I heard something anyway. And it was Miss Kelly, she did our announcements this morning, and she's very pregnant. And she was walking back and forth, and I'm like, oh, pregnancy. And so she left, and then I thought about that for a moment. And then suddenly I was thinking about COVID. How far are we into COVID? And then I thought, okay, 5 months. We're 5 months into COVID. And I know those don't seem like they have any connection. They didn't have any connection to me either. And then I said, okay, God, what's that about? And then he just had, how was it at 5 months of pregnancy? Well, for me, it was not a great time of pregnancy. It's kind of that quiet time. It's between the, oh, I've been sick, I've told everybody, kind of look pregnant, kind of don't look pregnant, not time for nesting yet, and all those fun things when you get energy there at the end. But it is a time of quiet. And so I'm like, okay. And so I just continued to worship, but it would not leave me alone. So here I'm thinking I'm getting some really strange random thoughts. And I'm like, all right, God, when he doesn't leave you alone, you know it's from him. And I said, okay, what do you want me to do with this then? And he said, Amy. And I heard her name and saw her face at the same time, and she was back here at worship. And so I knew that I needed to speak to her after service, and so I did. So we all have different gifts, and they come out in different ways. And for me, when I'm hearing those kinds of things from the Holy Spirit, I do not have the correct English words to put them into place where anyone can understand what I'm trying to say. So I'm basically babbling to Miss Ida and Amy about what I'm trying to say and what I felt like was happening, and because the English words weren't coming as they should, or they didn't make any sense. And so Amy says, let's pray. And so now I'll give it to Amy.
And I always come with notes. No, I really don't always come with notes. But I said, I can't remember what I prayed. And she said, well, why don't you write it down? So I wrote it down. And I want to say Friday was the first time I've stepped foot back in this church. The last time I stepped foot in the church and the last time I was at worship service was March 22nd. And nobody else was here. And I was speaking. It was the first time we did online service. And the online service wasn't working. So many of you probably didn't hear that. But what I talked about was Malachi 3:16, where the people brought their complaints and spoke to each other about their complaints, and God listened to them, and he had a book written in remembrance of them. So that's what I spoke about. So I wrote this all down, and so when Carla talked about the 5 month, I didn't get it because I liked my fifth month of pregnancy. That was kind of the time, that was a good time. But I prayed and I asked Father for continued favor, because at this point a woman's pregnancy becomes real. She begins to feel the flutter. Her hair's good. Her skin's good. She isn't sick. She begins to think of names maybe and pick names. And she begins to maybe know the sex of the baby and start to have vivid dreams. And the dad does too, start to have those vivid dreams. And so I prayed for vivid dreams for us, God's church. Something else that's kind of common, and maybe that's where you're at right now. You're needing those vivid dreams of the next thing. Maybe that's the word for you, okay? Then I considered that soon in the pregnancy just kind of starts to thin out. Everything about it just really starts to thin out. The whole experience, and I prayed for God's eyes to see that thinning in the church right now, and for each of us to see where the kingdom is thinning. There's less space between the world and the kingdom. It's thinning. We can see it. And so then I pray that the grumbling of a long pregnancy would find caring hands to come and comfort, because pregnant women begin to grumble near the end. And then I also prayed that we not stumble down the stairs or up the stairs, because both of those happen in pregnancy frequently. I prayed for sure feet that continue to walk our path, even though we can't see them. Because if you ask a pregnant woman, she can't see her feet at the end. And so she has to know where her path is. Maybe that describes you right now. Maybe you're grumbling and complaining. Maybe you were doing that before COVID. Maybe before all this, you were at that point of needing sure feet, of needing a caring hand to come and touch you. So maybe that's you. Maybe there's a thinning happening right now. And after I got done praying, I said, there is a thinning, and there are angels in Ames. I said that to them. I said, there are angels, and if we just open our eyes, we will see those angels. And I forgot to say in the first service, the angels aren't necessarily here just for us. They like us, but where Jesus is, that's where the angels are. So if there's angels in Ames, Jesus is in Ames, and he always has been, but if there are a lot of them, we can see him. He's here too. So then I left to go home. I don't live far because I really am the biggest introvert in this whole church, and I needed to get out of here, and I was hungry, and I walked away, and I walked down my dark alley like I always do and experienced things in that dark alley like I always do. And Ida, who told me to write it down, she stayed here, and she was talking with Pastor about us talking about this. I didn't know any of that yet. So I'm walking down this dark alley, and I have just declared there are angels and Ames, right? And I hear, Amy, it's about the fetus. I swung around, kind of looked around, and if you declare it, it will happen. If you declare it, will happen. So in the 2-block walk, this is all what came to me, unbeknownst that I would be standing here before you, just like on March 22nd. In December, Pastor had asked me to be standing before you when COVID started. So unbeknownst to that, there's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about me. Jesus is a special one. So the fetus at 5 months, just hanging out. It's just hanging out. It's not concerned about its name. It's not concerned about the pregnancy. It's really not concerned about what sex it is. It really doesn't know much about the mother. You know, maybe flutters a little bit and maybe gets a little bit of a response, but it's just hanging out. But that fetus is not created to live here. It's created to live out here in this environment. But at 5 months, if that fetus is born, it can't survive where it was created to live. It needs to hang out. 1 week later, it still probably can't. There may be some measures added in, but probably not. 2 weeks later, maybe more measures added in to help it, but probably still can't survive. But 1 month later, at 6 months, yeah, maybe. 7 months, yeah. 8 months, yeah. 10 months, it's overdue. You know, it's overdue. And we would be, you know, you're tired of that. But in that time period of hanging out, something is happening with the mother. There's a thinning of the wall. And that baby, when it's born, knows to seek food, knows light, has seen light, has heard mom's voice, has heard the family's voice, and is born prepared to live in the environment where it was raised. You know, where it was created for. And as I walk back home here, that fetus, when it comes out, does not remember going back to the old world. So when you talk about forgiveness and knowing I can't be forgiven, when you are moved to that next stage, you don't remember being that fetus. So at this point, it came to mind. All this happened in 2 blocks. A good friend, Melissa, who I met in Sioux City. Now, there's no reason for me to be in Ames. I can't explain to you why I'm in Ames. There's no good reason for me to be in this church, to know any of you. I didn't come here for a good reason, and I didn't go to Sioux City for good reason, but I met Melissa, and we began working together, and she was a DHS worker who helped kids who were removed from the home, and she taught her workers how to love families really well. Well, Melissa had another story. She was the most loving person, unconditional love I've ever seen, and she had another story that I learned as I got to know her. Melissa's mom was a teenager, probably, I think she was 14 or 15 when she had Melissa. But she decided at the fifth month that this pregnancy was not for her. It wasn't for her. And since it was the fifth month, her doctor selected a specific way to make this pregnancy end. Because you understand, there is only one way for a pregnancy to end, and that is a child is delivered. Delivery is the only way for it to end. So Melissa, at 5 months, she must have been six. Maybe they estimated it wrong, and so they chose that method. She came out fighting. Melissa came out fighting. And the way it typically happens in these types of procedures is the fetus, it's called a fetus, which is now a baby, was put in another room and the door was shut and left. Well, there happened to be a nurse working that day that didn't normally work that procedure. And she heard this baby crying. And she went in and she took the baby up to the NICU. And Melissa was then adopted into a family. And she loved Jesus. She said she loved Jesus her whole life. And so she was adopted into this family. And she came along in this family with loving parents. And at about age 14, she learned her story. She found out her story, that she was a survivor. And so Melissa, with love, worked through that process. And she later sought out her mother, her birth mother, when she had a child of her own, and that child is now 14 and she has a second child, sought out her birth mother, loved her birth mother, introduced her birth mother to her grandchildren. Her birth mother didn't even know she existed anymore. Didn't know it. And introduced her to her grandchildren, and introduced her to Jesus and the love of Jesus. And now Melissa seeks other survivors and introduces them to the love of Jesus. And her story is even more of a testimony now because it has weight to it. Do you understand where she came from? It has weight. So that's a good thing. But anyway, maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're at a place that says, but you don't get it. You don't get my dreams and what I've done and what can't be undone and what I can't come back from. And that's just not true, because Melissa is a testimony to that. She's a testimony. And the fetus doesn't go back and remember where it came from. It remembers this world. Anyway, and so then for the word for the church, you know, the church here, we declare a lot of things. I don't know what Pastor said at the second service, but I talked about dreams and I talked about declarations. And he said that like 10 times at the first service. I don't know if he said it here, but he did it this service. Dreams and I didn't know I was going to be speaking when I wrote all this down, okay? I didn't know that. So the church, we declare a lot. We declare we have a new church. We declare there's coffee. We declare that we have a great worship team. We declare a lot. And we need to start declaring Jesus, because it will happen when we declare it. When we say it, it will happen. We need to declare Jesus, 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 Jesus. And so throughout whatever, throughout your pregnancy, throughout your grumbling, declare Jesus. That's all it takes. You know, say to the person, Pastor said a couple weeks ago that when you're in the produce section, say to someone, well, let us pray. And you know, do. Just declare Jesus. Just step out, because it doesn't matter what you say or who you are. Just declare Jesus, because it works, because this is all testimony for that. So, yeah. Jesus, Jesus, say it to who around you, because we don't all know it. And that's my part of the story.
So on Friday night, as Amy was praying, she kept saying that there was a thinning out. There is a thinning out, and that God's dreams, visions, and promises are coming to pass. God kept saying to me, there is a thinning out, and there are people in the church, our body, where God has been trying to birth within us those dreams, visions, and promises. And somewhere along the way, we have tried to abort those dreams, visions, and promises, And he has called us together, one body, one church, on accord, yes, to step outside of these four walls to speak and minister Jesus, to spread the gospel to a world who is divided, to Ames, who needs to see him. He has called us to do that. So he is saying now is that time that he wants to pour out our his spirit, and he is asking us to step into place. So focus in on him. And as Amy kept saying, when a woman is pregnant, she gets to the point where she can't see her feet. She can't see, but that baby begins to see the light of the world, and lights begin to come in. As we focus on Jesus, we begin to see all that he has promised, his dreams, his visions. Amen. Amen.